are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adboso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
Radio stations, we welcome you. Live stream viewers across the world, we welcome you. And of course, our television audience, we welcome you. It's a great honor to bring the Word of God right here from CRC to Africa and to many nations of the world. We know God loves you. God has a great plan with your life. Thank you for tuning in. We know that God is going to change your life and you will never be the same. So we welcome you with us right where you are in Jesus' name. Have a most blessed day and may your life never be the same again. Let's welcome them here from Liverpool and welcome all the other churches. Come on. I am talking on one of my favorite subjects, and I'm going to stay here for a long time because God told me to teach the new generation the ways, the moods, the operation, and the working of the Holy Spirit. Because for many people, the Holy Spirit is something foreign. When strong men hear it's a revival week, they run the other opposite way because they think when the Holy Spirit manifests, it's something spooky. He's not Casper the Ghost. The Holy Spirit is as much God as Jesus is God. He is the one that Jesus sent to represent the Father and the Son in our lives. So if we are going to fulfill our destiny, and if this next generation will be the great generation I believe God wants them to be, you better build, and I say you better build a relationship with the Holy Spirit more than anybody else. I got saved on the 14th of November, 1982, 1 month before I turned 17. I walked out of the service when I got saved, and my brother, who was very instrumental in bringing me to the Lord and initially leading me into the things of God, as I walked out, and I never knew, he said, I never understood what he said. As I walked out, he said, go ask the pastor for the Holy Ghost. Well, I just got saved. I'm excited. I know my life has changed. I'm like in a trance. I walk out. He says, go ask the pastor for the Holy Ghost. I went back. I stood in the front and I said to the pastor, my brother says I must ask you for the Holy Ghost. Amen. And he says, lift your hands. He prays for me. And I received the baptism in the Holy Ghost. So I received two in one. I think many people have an encounter with Jesus and they don't have an encounter with the Holy Ghost. It's like Paul in Acts 19. This is now long, many years after Acts chapter 2. He comes to disciples and he said, have you received the Holy Ghost? They said, we have not even heard if there is any Holy Ghost. Well, family, if Jesus was here in the flesh, I'm sure you would agree if you had a challenge. You would go to Jesus, you would talk to Jesus, and you would ask Jesus for wisdom. Amen. Well, now, John chapter 16. Verse number 7, I read from the message. The Bible says, let's just lay a foundation again. He said, so let me say it again. This truth, it is better for you that I leave. If I don't leave, the friend won't come. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will expose the error of the godless world's view of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Verse number 12, I still have many things to tell you, but you can't handle them now. But when the friend comes, everybody say the friend. You don't have to fear the Holy Ghost. He's a friend. He's a helper. He's a strengthener. He's a comforter. He's a guide. Jesus said the Holy Ghost will come. Now notice I'm ignoring him on purpose because that's how 99.9 of you live. You live as if there is no Holy Ghost. You want a prophet. You want an apostle. You want a deacon. You want a word from a man. And Jesus said, I'm giving you someone just like me, a lookalike, somebody who will lead you and guide you. So you will never be manipulated by man or be dependent upon man. You don't have to pay to get a blessing. You give finances, you give tithes and offerings to honor God. You honor God. You give your tithe and your money, you give it to build God's kingdom. Because when you are saved, Jesus becomes everything. He doesn't become part of your life, he becomes your life. Come on, if he's your life today, somebody shout amen in this place. Hallelujah. So Jesus says, when I go, I send a friend, I send a helper, I send a parakletos, I send a standby, someone who will live with you 24/7, amen. And what do? We live as if he's not there. But Jesus said, he will guide you into all truth. And I'm going to talk about it today, how he guides you. Because ultimately, success unfolds as we take God-guided steps by faith. So he sent the Holy Ghost to guide you. And I'll show you how, as a friend. Not a dictator, as a friend. Because your will always remain alive while you follow God. So he sends the Holy Ghost to do what? To guide you into all truth. Who to marry, where to work, where to live, because he knows the future. He sent the Holy Ghost to teach you all things, how to be a husband, a wife, a doctor. We're going to talk about that when we talk about godly counselors. That if you face sickness or disease, not only do you need the word of God, not only do you need a witness, but you need godly counselors. I have like three doctors who look after my health. Pastor of faith, who test my blood all the time. When I have a challenge, I go to them and they'll give me godly counsel. My wife earlier this year, she just came to me and she said to me, she wanted to go for an MR. So she spoke to one of our doctors in Pretoria who is a surgeon. He arranged an MR for her, and I couldn't understand because on the outside, nothing looked wrong with Narendra, but it just wouldn't leave her. She said, I just need to go for an MR. I want to go for an MR on my hip and my spine, etc. Well, they sent her for an MR and nobody knows this. Then they picked up a huge cyst, which was possibly cancerous on her ovary, which is in medical terms, the silent killer. So we went to the doctors and said, what do we have to do? They said, we have to operate immediately. Tell no one. I knew it was going to be okay. Narita went for the operation, but she didn't feel any pain in her body. She just had an unction. I have to do an MR on my spine. And the doctor came back and he phoned me. He said, listen, there's something big that we have to give attention to. And she went for an operation quickly, finish, and to remove the thing out. And everything is fine. It was stopped before it could become anything terrible. Come on. Not only did we pray, Shabba Shabba Hyundai, we followed godly counsel. We followed the advice of people in the church. So when I go to an advocate, it will be a spiritual man. When I see a psychiatrist, I mean you, me, whoever, it will be a spiritual person. When I see a doctor, it will be a spiritual doctor, because it can be symptoms that look like this and the doctor just says to you, don't worry, this is what it is, because he discerns it by the, oh, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody give the Lord a praise for the Holy Ghost. I feel his presence in this place already. Hallelujah. I can't tell you how many doctors have told me, Pastor, that person would not have died if they only listened to us. And it's sad and tragic. If we think we just walk with God one-on-one and we discard how God leads us. So I want to talk about those three witnesses. But first, we have to understand that it is the Holy Spirit that Jesus sent to guide us into all truth, to teach us all things, to show us things to come. Amen. I told you the news is yesterday's news. Today's news is yesterday. The word is future. Amen. Hallelujah. No matter what we go through, we win. The end is written. Hallelujah. We will be the head and not the tail. We will be the top dog. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Come on. Every tongue that is risen against you in judgment, you will condemn. You will come out on the top. You will come through the valley unscathed. The fire will not touch you. If you follow the Holy Ghost, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I need to follow the Lord as my shepherd. I need to follow the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. And he will show me things to come. He will guide me into all truth. He will bring to my remembrance what Jesus said. You just remember, the word says, God spoke to you 3 years ago. He brings to remembrance. And then he glorifies Jesus. The Holy Spirit always glorifies Jesus. He always makes Jesus the center of everything. Although we honor men, and we should honor apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, we never placed him above Jesus. We honor men, but we glorify Jesus. Because if we don't honor, familiarity will stop a move of God. Jesus could do no miracles because of familiarity. People did not discern he's a man of God. It was just like, we know him. He's a hometown boy. One of my biggest challenges has always been, I've grown up in the city. So for many, I'm a hometown boy. They can't celebrate the gift. It's fact. It's you walk in other places like a whole nother level, because people say, well, you're man of God. But we don't worship men of God. We honor them. We recognize. We submit ourselves in the Lord to them and godly women. But we glorify Jesus. Amen. I said we glorify Jesus. Some people are so afraid to say anything good about anybody else that they're going to get a fat head. Don't worry about people's heads. A man of God once gave me a compliment. I was young, just started out in the ministry, spoke at a school, and great things happened. God turned the atmosphere, and he said to me afterwards, he said, Art, you really did great. I said, no, it wasn't me, it was Jesus. You know, we eat humble. It's like humble, you know, it's not my, it's me. He said, no. When people give you praise, receive it and give it back to Jesus. When people say, great job, say, thank you very much. I receive your thanks. I receive your appreciation. But when you go alone and you're alone with Jesus, you give it to Jesus. You say, Lord, I want to glorify you. you, because no one knows what you have done for me. No one knows what you have done. Oh, come on. No one knows what you have done for me in Jesus' name. No one knows. No one knows. No one knows. If you walk with the Lord, nobody has a cooking clue. That's why He rewards His servants and His prophets, because He knows. While you judge a man, God knows. That's why He says, touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. Because if God anointed a man and the Holy Ghost is with a man, you don't want to talk against that man. So I say nothing about anybody. I may switch on TV and switch it off quickly again because I see what I think is flaky stuff on television. I just switch it off. I'm not going to go phone three people and say, did you see this guy's real flaky? He's manipulative, etc. I'm not. Maybe he changes while I'm talking. Thought I'll just throw it in there. Amen. So how are we led by the Holy Spirit today? Romans 8 verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, not prophecy. Although prophecy may be a way. But I don't seek prophecy. We may all prophesy, and we'll get into that for the evenings with the young people, which is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Directive words through prophecy must come through the prophetic office. Somebody who stands in the office, which is a very senior ministry level. You don't get an apostle that is young. You don't get a prophet that is young. Amen. I mean, every brother doodad calls himself a bishop, an apostle, a prophet. They wet behind the ears. They have no following. They're out for a stroll and they call themselves, I'm a man of God. No, you're not a man of God. Just be a servant. Humble yourself. Go serve in a church somewhere. Get off your high horse. Amen. And just live life. Learn what life is about. Learn what life is about. Maybe after you've raised your children successfully, you can write a book on marriage. That's why I haven't written many books. The day I write, it will be proven. Amen. I read the Bible and I read books to stretch my mind, trends in the world. I believe you grow by the books you read, places you go, and the people you meet. I do believe that. But you learn much more by hanging out with God. David said, through your word, you've made me wiser than my teachers. Wisdom. This is the source of wisdom. It's the source of life. It's the source of light. So if you treat it by the way, the results this book promises you will be very by the way. Verse 16 says, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. So as a child of God, your Father's desire to lead you into all truth through the precious Holy Spirit. God doesn't want us to play the guessing game. He doesn't want us to live in checkmate. He doesn't want us to be up and down. The Bible is very clear, from glory to glory. We should not always be in the wilderness. Israel came through the wilderness once. They didn't go back to the wilderness all the time. They weren't stuck. It's like people think we have to be up and down all the time as Christians. No, you should be down, then you should be up, because God said you will be the top dog only. But the problem is when people get up, they disconnect from the source. They stop going to church. They stop praying. They stop pressing in. They stop reading the Bible because now I am successful. Nobody tells me what I should do. So when offering time comes, you don't listen to the Holy Ghost. It's just like, okay, I'll give God out of my leftovers. And I've been intentional. Every time there's an offering, to listen. I mean, I don't want to give God less than I gave Him 10 years ago. What is that? None of you would follow me if I was preaching now to 100 people after 21 years of or 31 years of ministry and say, amen, pastor. How come business people, they start out up there, many, I'm not generalizing, and as they become successful, their giving goes down, yeah. What is that? What is that? If God says from glory to glory, our influence should increase in the kingdom of God. From glory to glory. I pose it, I suggest that people disconnect from the Holy Ghost. When they get where they want to be, then it's like, okay, I got where I want to be. That's it now. But they forget God brought you to the palace to serve His purpose in your generation. That's why God took Joseph to the palace to serve the purpose of God's kingdom. How about people? Oh, God, now I'll follow you. I'll follow you wherever you want me to go. Oh, Jesus. Yes, Lord, just give me opportunity, Jesus. Just give me a wife and we will serve you as husband and wife, Jesus. Just give me a child and we will glorify you. And that is until the baby comes. Then, oh, no, 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 no. You know, my child needs to be in a routine. And, oh, no, 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 no. My house is my house. You know, oh, no, 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 no. But when you had nothing, it was, Lord, oh, Jesus, I'll follow you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, oh, bless me, Jesus. You know, give me a business, Jesus. I'll be a kingdom builder. And you have your business. What have you built? Your assets have increased and your giving is nowhere. What? Because you got where you want to be. And then things go down. Your marriage goes down. Your health goes down. Things begin to go down. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord brings will make rich and add no sorrow. No sorrow is to follow the person of the Holy Ghost that Jesus said, it is expedient for you. It is better for you because I sent someone in my place to lead you, to guide you all the days. When you get to the boardroom, follow the Holy Ghost. When you build another building, follow the Holy Ghost. When you make riches, follow the Holy Ghost. Oh, come on, somebody. In the name of Jesus, shout hallelujah. I tell you, my grandchildren won't know what's hit them from the day they're born because I spoke to God. I pray for my bloodline. I'm going to raise them up to be preachers. I'm going to raise them up to be teachers. I'm going to raise them up to be pillars in the house of God. They will have no option. They're going to come to my house. I'm going to lay my hands on them and I'm going to pray the Holy Ghost into them in the name of Jesus like I did with my children. It's like parents parent their children in neutral. Excuse me, lift your hands. Fill them up. I have the Holy Ghost. Not up and down, more down than up. What's that? Now, don't get mad or don't get sad, but I'm trying to help. Because we want to stay on the mountain top. And every now and again there's a valley, we understand that. But then we walk through the valley. Not to. We don't camp, we walk through. Goodness and mercy. It's like in people's doctrine, they have this, I must struggle for Jesus. Where did you get that if you said in John 10 verse 10, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Now who will lead me in that life? The Holy Ghost. And what does that life mean? It means following the purpose of God while I do whatever I do. While I'm a doctor, lawyer, architect, preacher, whatever it is. Following the Holy Ghost in the purpose of God, which is what? To make Jesus more famous, ultimately. That's why he leads me. That's why he guides me. That's why he blesses me. To make Jesus more famous in this world. No other reason. Your giving is to make Jesus more famous. We will not reach tens of thousands in Johannesburg without a building. You can stand on your head and whistle. We will not reach tens of thousands of people without a building in Johannesburg. That means some of you need to get off your blessed assurances, get serious about your giving, and become financiers of the kingdom of God. Can I have an amen in the name of Jesus? Stop tipping God. Getting uncomfortable in this place, but I've learned when the Holy Ghost gets close to me, I feel loved and warm, but certain times he says, hey, I told you. I'm out for a stroll with Pretoria the first 3 years. And I sat there, he knew, because he knows all things. I thought, well, the worst is I can sell the land, put the money into the building in Bloemfontein. And he said, I told you. I was like, okay. He's not a debate. God's never had a debate with me, ever. People think, okay, the Lord talks. Now let's talk about this Lord. It's like people present God as this casual, laid-back fellow. It's like, okay, let's have a talk about this God. You're calling me, really? Okay, let's just talk about this. Let's talk about this. Who follows who? Let's talk. Oh, you want you, my business, Lord? My business. You want my money? Well, let's, okay, I'm coming to church for the next 3 weeks. We're in a building fund. I'll come when everything is finished. I'm just going to go over here. I'm going, you know. No, it's like, you can't suck my geld. You know, let's just shut God out. That's what strong men do. And the kingdom of God is established by strong men. And Satan's tactic is to disconnect strong men from the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost, if you're a strong man and you haven't had a strong encounter with the Holy Ghost, you will be the boss of your life all the days of your life. This is a strong man, but this man met a man stronger than me. I met Jesus and I met the Holy Ghost and he knocked me off my high horse and I learned to be a servant of God. If God says jump, I'm going to jump, my brother. Come on in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Not you connect and then live your life. That's where I honor my wife in this journey. In Lady Brand, God spoke to me, came back to Bloemfontein. She came. Bloemfontein, whatever God's told us. Then I said, the Lord's wanting us to pastor two churches. We'll have to live in two places. Now, anybody that's ever done it will understand the pressure that you bring upon your marriage, your children, your family, living in two places. And in between, in many other cities, preaching the gospel. You better hear. Otherwise, your marriage ends in divorce. Because I've met many people who try it, but I had a word from God. He said, if that's what God wants, we do it. And no one knows. I'll tell you, No one knows. Of course, they see Sunday, it's hallelujah, Shabbat, the church is exploding, but nobody knows. People complain. The wife complains. She says, I haven't seen my husband. And you haven't seen him for one evening because he's a home cell leader. For the last 10 years, 50% of my life, I haven't slept in the same bed as my wife for the sake of the kingdom. You don't sleep with God for two nights and you look at another woman. Come on. Excuse me. You think we're going to advance God's kingdom without sacrifice? You think we're going to expand God's kingdom without having a servant attitude towards the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Oh, come on. We don't seek comfort. We seek Christ. We don't seek a lifestyle. We seek a purpose that is bigger than us to advance the kingdom of God and to make Jesus more famous. Oh, come on. It's holiday, so you can shout amen in the name of Jesus. I want to preach somebody on fire. I want to preach a man that will go shake a city, a businessman that will build the house of God in the name of Jesus. I'm tired of so many people in the shallow waters while there are rivers of God that is flowing. Send another helper. When you walk with him, you don't play games. When you walk with him, you don't gossip, because he's not a gossiper. When you walk with him, you don't slander, because he's not a slanderer. Amen. I tell you, it's like Jesus is fresh to me every day. I just don't understand people getting stale. And people, that this life that Jesus came to die for doesn't matter to people. That business people live in a bubble without realizing that they'll die and stand before Jesus and give account. That you can have everybody cheering you on, but if he's not cheering you on, it's not going to be a great day when you stand in front of him. I want more of him. I want everything he has for me. I'm hungrier for God now than ever. And it triggers me when I walk on a platform, I meet young leaders who don't have a hunger for God. I'm going to deal with our young people, tens of thousands of them. You're going to break, and then God's going to build you. I mean, you have to fall on the rock, get serious in your relationship with God. This ministry was built by young people. First church I started, I was 23 years old, 29 when we pioneered this move. The people who paid this ministry were people in their late 20s. My brother was 30. Franz was sitting over there. He was in his early 30s. He's been with me forever. Raise your hand. I honor you. He's given in every building project a great man of God. Come on, say thank you. Sacrificed many things. He's a dentist, very intellectual person, but he saw the move of God. He's hungry for God. So that's the miracle of this church. We're not all happy, clappy, shouty, unintelligent. Get over that. We're full of the Holy Ghost. People that gave everything to build this and pioneer this move. Are we going to become fat cats now? Sit on our rusty dusties? And the young generation rise up and just watch what is happening and never be activated by God? Never be activated by God? Never be activated by God? I was 23 years old, I was activated by God to pioneer my first church. 29 years old when I led this move in Bloemfontein, and the 20 years and the early 30-year-olds stood up and we pioneered this move, which is across South Africa today. We will not have a generation that just sit and watches. The power of God is going to fall upon this generation, and God is going to bring a move like our country has never seen. Somebody shout amen and give the Lord a praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I know I'm off my message, but I don't care. I'm going to preach something into somebody. Something is going to happen into somebody's life. We are not here for dead religion. We are not here to play church. We are here to see a move of God in our generation. Oh, somebody, if you feel the fire of God, jump to your feet and give God a praise from your heart in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, Lord, use me. Use me like never. Baptize me with your fire. Baptize me afresh in the name of Jesus. Come on. Somebody, use me, God. Use me, God. I want to be used by 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 God more than ever in my life. I want to be used by God. I don't want to become normal. I don't want to be toned down because I'm 50 something. I want to be used by God. I want to grow stronger and bolder for God. As I grow older, I want to do greater exploits for God. I want to climb another mountain for God. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Sit down. No one knows. No one knows. No one knows. No one knows. When he came into my life, when Jesus and the Holy Ghost, when he got a hold of me, put your hand on my heart, when he got a hold of me, it's never changed. I will not live in the shallow waters when he calls me to swim. I will not sit in the boat if he calls me to go walk on the water. I will not be silent if he tells me to preach. No matter what the Constitutional Court decides on religion in schools, then let them arrest our young people. Let them arrest our young people. But we will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Come on, say amen. Unstoppable. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. He's the one that has led me all these years through trials, tribulations. Like the song says, through many toils and fears. And we all go through ups and downs, challenges in our marriages, challenges in our physical bodies. I broke a disc in my body. It's still broken. I have to go to gym. I go to gym for many reasons. One, I don't want to be fat as a preacher because I want to look good for young people to be able to follow me. Amen. But I have to as well to keep my back strong so I can stand on my feet and preach the gospel. We face challenges like all of you, but we turn to God, trust the Holy Ghost, trust people that are close to us, people that are around us. Even my brother, when he faced, the outcome was not what we wanted. But when he was diagnosed with cancer, we all prayed. We had the word of God. We had a witness. And then we spoke to the doctors in our church, Dr. John Barry Fichard, Dr. Brent Green, Tini Boer, many others. And we sought God's pathway to healing. Not only did we pray and lay hands, we sought God's pathway to miracle. And I'm not going to tell you where the thing went wrong, but I know the day where things, not his faith, had nothing to do with his faith. An operation that had to take place that it would save his life, and the operation, but it was a risk. It was a life-death situation, and we knew that operation, God would carry him through. And the doctors afterwards said, we're not doing this. No blame on the doctor. But you know, when you go through the severest trial, and we were like this, it was a difficult time for me. Standing up here preaching the week after he died. Who do you think gave me the comfort? I felt like the life was taken out of me because he was closer to me maybe than any human being, 50-something years. Everybody just looks and say, praise God, Pastor. He's in heaven, etc. And people have no cooking clue that you stay strong for the sake of the people, but the Holy Ghost helps you. He comforts you. He strengthens you. He keeps you strong. When you have questions, he gives you the peace, etc. So the Holy Ghost for me is very real. Even when people give commitment, say, oh, I'll be your brother. I've never seen you after you say you'll be my brother. But I thank God for the friend. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. I thank for the God for the one that has never left me or forsaken me. I thank God for the one that has made me stronger. Oh, come on, through every trial, every test, and every tribulation. I thank God that when we are weak, we can be strong because he's always there to lead you and to guide you and to glorify Jesus through your life. No matter where you are, he is there. He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Come on, you're not clapping for me this morning. You are clapping for Jesus. Give him a good praise offering as we bring the service to a close. Come on, can we give him a good praise offering? Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Come on, give him a good praise offering here today. Hallelujah. I just want your heart to shift this morning. I just want your heart to focus upon him this morning. I just want you to open your heart and ask the Holy Ghost, take control of my life, Lord. I want to know you. I want to walk with you. Get back to where you should be in the Lord. I don't want to give you a theory. You need an encounter. An encounter with this God that is amazing. This God who sustains you. This God who carries you. This God who never leaves you, who never forsakes you. This God who is faithful and true. This God who carries you every day of your life. You need an encounter with this person. And the stronger you are, the closer you need to stay to him. The closer you need to walk with him. The Holy Spirit. No one knows. The battles you have faced, the trials you've gone through. No one knows. And still we can say, Lord, you are faithful. You are true. You may live in a squatter camp, you may have no education, but He will lead you. My brother started selling black plastic bags. Couldn't afford to go to university. Ended with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions. A business that is thriving with new leadership, his wife, his sons, a godly business. He built these business the way we built this church, the two of us. Prayed, followed the Holy Ghost. As this ministry progressed, his business progressed. And we both, people say, Pastor, tell me quick. I say, what do you mean quick? You don't build a good marriage quickly. You learn to walk with God. You learn to walk with the Holy Ghost. You learn to do what the Holy Spirit asks you to do when it is not comfortable, when it is sacrificial. You learn to walk with God in another, just another way. You'll take Him to your boardroom. He's everything, and God knows whether He's everything. And I saw the hand of my God upon him. As the hand of God was upon me in ministry, God's hand upon him in business. And we walked together in partnership. Understanding that we're here for one thing, to build God's kingdom. Whether it's business or preaching. That we don't preach to get accolades and likes on Facebook. We don't build business so everybody's like, "Whoo! Look at all your shopping centers and business." We build for the glory of Jesus. And that means we take Jesus wherever we go. And we finance the kingdom of God. Have we forgotten? Have we forgotten why Jesus came? Have we forgotten why the Holy Ghost came? To lead us in the same life that Jesus lived. To glorify His Father. There's no other reason. And if I can't do that, I want to go home, Jesus. I want to go home. I don't want to live another day on this earth. I mean it. I used to pray when I was studying law. I used to pray the fire of God fell upon me. I used to pray, say, God, if I can't preach the gospel, if I can't go to the ministry, I don't even want to live. I don't want to live. I prayed that the power of God consumed me. I cried at the foot of my bed every day. I said, Lord, if I cannot go to the ministry, if I cannot, I don't want to live. I don't want to do a job. I don't want to live because the fire of God was so in me. But why can't we do business like that and sport like that? And I want to run on that rugby field for you, God. I want to not just praise God, praise God. And you're not in a church. You're not committed. You're not a witness. You're nowhere. But it's now the fashionable thing to say, praise God. Amen. Glory to God. But you're not representing the life of Christ. We don't want that fake. We want a generation that is sold out to God. And if it means 300 has to stand up and everybody else has to go back to their ways and their mediocrity and lukewarmness, then let them go. And let the 300 come together. Let the 120 radical come together. Those who will carry the fire of God. Those who will live unashamedly. And we will see a move of God. We will see a revival of God. We will see an outpouring of God upon our cities, upon our schools, and upon our nation. Come on, can I have a praise in this place? Can I have a witness in this place? Oh, come on. In the name of Jesus, praise God from your heart and not from your mind. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. I think we reclaim our lives when we move away from the Holy Spirit. And it all becomes up here again. But when He saved us, it was just, I can't do enough for you, God. What do you want from me, God? What is it? And that's the Holy Spirit, and that's what people fear. Because they know the Holy Spirit is full on. The Holy Spirit is not half. Jesus is full on. He's not half. He didn't come to give us religion. He didn't come to give us a lifestyle. He came to give us a cause. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving, please. I hope you'll be back. Because these are the days where the fire of God is going to fall. You can take your seat. Thank you. I respect that you stand. These are the days where the fire of God is going to get a hold of people. And you will not be the same ever. Please, don't negotiate with God. He promised I send another one. 2,000 years ago, the Father sent Jesus to be the Savior of this world. Before Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, He came as Emmanuel, God with us. He came to seek and save the lost. You're sitting out today there in Johannesburg, maybe Durban, in Pretoria, and you have no peace with God. If you died today, you don't know where you would spend eternity. Jy lees jou Bybel, jy gaan kerk toe, jy bid miskien, maar jy het nie geloofsekerheid vandag nie. As jy vandag sou sterwe, weet jy nie waar jy die ewigheid sou deurbring nie. You're not here by accident. You could have been in many places. You are here today because God wants to get your attention. God wants to bring you back to Himself. I want to give you the moment, that opportunity to respond, to come home, to come back to Jesus, to surrender everything to Jesus. God never sent an angel to die for you. He sent His Son. He gave His very best for you and for me. All He says is, give yourself back to me. The greatest act of love that humanity has ever seen was Jesus dying for this world, a sinful world, a world that hated God, and yet God loved that world and sent His Son into a world that He knew would reject His Son and crucify His Son. But God did that so that He could save those who hated Him. Don't be distant with God. He came to this world to declare, I'm not mad with you. I love you. I want a relationship with you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving. In all our churches, there in Pretoria, on the floor, on the balcony, there in Johannesburg, Bloemfontein, North Durban, Pietermaritzburg, Wartburg, Achenais, wherever you are today, God is right there. There is no distance in the realm of the Spirit. You feel something happening in your heart this morning. You may not understand it, but it is God talking to you. Forget your friends. I sat in a meeting, a little meeting, and my two best friends sat with me. God worked in my heart. I responded. My two friends never did. Up to now, they never gave their lives to Jesus. Will you be the one today that responds and says, God, I want to give you my all. I surrender all. It's as easy as that. I want to pray for you. If that is the cry of your heart, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving, you say, that's in me. I want to surrender all to Jesus. Amen. What a great honor to pray with you, all of you. We love you. Jesus loves you. You are valuable and precious to Jesus. You matter to God, each and every one of you. They're in Pretoria and all our churches. Reach your hands out to them, loving hands. Everybody pray this prayer with me right now, please. Pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I give myself back to you. Thank you for loving me just as I am. I believe with all my heart you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. Save me, Jesus. Wash me in your blood. Give me the power today to be a true child of God. I surrender my life to you. I give everything to you. Thank you for a new beginning. Thank you that I'm born again. I belong to you now and forever, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.